Blog Talk Radio.
Check, 1, 2.
Welcome to Flavors. Sit down. Have a cup of flavor.
Peace and blessings, and welcome to Flavor Coffee House Online Radio Style. Come in, come in. I've got a seat saved just for you. I've got the coffee on. I've got some tea brewing. You know, let's chill for the next 2 hours together and share in some conversation and good music. Flavor Coffee House and Flavor News supports underground independent artists. And when I say that, I'm not just speaking of musical talents. I know many people think that that's what I do, is just support, you know, hip-hop or R&B soul, jazz or whatever. I know the reality is that I became Lady Flavor as a book reviewer. I was a book reviewer of African-American literature. You know, then at my coffee shop, you know, yes, I did. I had a coffee shop called Flavor Coffee House here in Seattle, Washington, from 2003 to 2008. And I hosted open mics there with the help of some amazing, amazing creative souls from the Pacific Northwest. I sold art from jewelry, graphics, books, music, spoken word. You know, I sold a variety of art made by, you know, unknown artists here in the Pacific Northwest and across the United States. So that's really where I recognized how much I love art and how much I know that supporting artists who are not out there in the main light, is with that spotlight, the mainstream media following, needs support. Another reason why I support, I think, the artists is, you know, there's a little bit of creativity in me hidden somewhere. But as a small business owner, I know what it is to need that support to make a business work. And that's not easy to do it by yourself. It's just really not. And when I had Flavor Coffee House, you know, I went into it with this whole concept of just wanting to create a space that people will want to come to, will enjoy, you know, will feel comfortable, have a safe haven to come to. I wanted to create a space for a diverse group of people to have a place they could call their own that wasn't represented in the community where I built Flavor. And I established all that, you know, but I didn't establish the revenue. I just didn't. You know, Flavor was, you know, pretty much taking care of itself, and that was it. And I'll be honest, I lost my financial world behind her. You know, I try not to hold on to it, yet sometimes that little thorn, you know, pokes me from time to time. But, you know, we really need support, and we really need to figure out how and who and all of that to get support from. So I think maybe that's a topic I'd like to talk about today is, you know, how do you build win-wins? How do you build that circle of people and connections and opportunities to get out there and get amongst, you know, people who will pay attention, who will become fans, and who will in the end honestly become consumers. So kind of stepping away from that, I am a sucker for a good voice. A good voice and a solid presence. And the first time I heard this man's voice, many, many years ago, back in the days of MySpace, he and April Sims used to do a Blog Talk Radio show, and he went by the name of Poetry Man back in those days. And, oh my goodness, the man's got a voice, but he's got this great project out. It's called the Christopher Fields Project, and I'm going to play a piece off of that. It's called They Sing Me, again by Christopher Fields.
I've lost track of time. sitting here with my knees pressed so tightly to my chest. I'm sure that I left imprints on my spine as I listened to someone sing of sorrows that somehow gave expression to mine, and all that I could do was hum. Knees pressed tightly, eyes closed even tighter. I'm not sure if that was to keep light from penetrating my psyche or a feeble attempt to restrain the waterfall of tears that flowed freely, naturally, necessarily, and all that I could do was hum. I rocked to the rhythm of my heartache, oblivious to the melody playing in the background, hearing but not listening anymore, changing words to suit my own needs, telling myself this singer is deep. They went through this in reality. I mean, how else could they understand my pain? How can they tell a story like this if they haven't lived it? No one is that gifted, and all that I could do was hum. Inside of me, I shook my head from side to side and I pressed my hand to my chest over my heart. I wanted to feel myself from the outside in. I wish they would stop singing me like this, but I don't want this moment to end. And all that I could do was hum. My life danced across the piano keys as the performer created them again for me. There were no words, only sounds that spoke to me clearly, and I gave them life by my reaction to this instrumental of pain intertwined with passion. All that I could do was hum. That belong in smoke-filled rooms. The singer's weight supported by a wooden stool, the eerily beautiful sound of their blues. I have lived those too. I've walked a lifetime in their shoes, and all that I could do was hum.
I think that's one thing when it comes to spoken word is it's a performance art, in my opinion. I know there's just so many conversations and dialogues that have taken place between poetry and spoken word. But to me, spoken word is a performance type of art. And Christopher Fields just has that type of voice. So it was Christopher Fields out of Washington, D.C., and that piece is called They Sing Me off of his Christopher Fields project. And, you know, one of the things that I am really, really appreciating is that many of the CDs that I get actually have, like, almost every single track I love. You know, how back in the day when we were coming up, there was, like, maybe 2-3 tracks that we just had to play over and over and over. I used to love When My Beta Was Still Working. It's so cute, but it has a dead engine. But I used to get in my car. I had old school 6-track, CD player in the back trunk of my Beetle, and I'd throw some tracks in and just hit the road and ride and play good music. My daddy's trying to get my attention, so I apologize. So anyway, Christopher Fields just has a great voice, and I could listen to his CD just straight through. So, you know, and that's one of the things I kind of miss about Flavor Coffee House is that, you know, every Friday night we had a show that I called Night of Creative Expression, and just a variety of talents would come through the door. And I really loved it because it wasn't about necessarily, you know, being perfect and polished and professional and all of that. All kinds of levels of talents came through, spoken word, musicians, you know, and all of that. And, you know, it became a family. The house was packed. People were pretty much sitting on top of each other, you know, and even I would get on the stage from time to time and think that I could, you know, spit a piece or two, you know. So I had to kind of come back, and thanks to my friend April Sims, you know, she suggested that I do a show that was called Flavor Coffee House, honoring my baby, you know, where I got started and how Lady Flavor was birthed. And I'm really glad that she did it. Due to circumstances at my job that I just resigned from. Yay! I'm so excited I resigned from there. It's really sad that I'm so happy, right? But I used to, for 3.5 years, I was able to do this show from my job. And then things changed and got crazy and all of that, and I wasn't able to do that. And so I kind of got sad. I kind of missed, and I couldn't quite figure out what was the right day to do the Coffee House show, because I really like doing it on Saturdays. I tried it Monday nights. I don't know. That just didn't seem to work. So I'm so excited to be here this morning, afternoon for some of you, and be able to share this time with you. So the coffee shop is open where you can come in and chill, or you can call in and you know, promote yourself, a project you've got going on, an event that you've got going on, hint, hint, Amina. You know, or good morning, Kimora. Do you want to say good morning to everybody on the show? Say
good morning.
That was my baby girl. So anyway, you know, this is where you can call in. This is about you. It's not about me necessarily rambling on, yet you can tell that I can do that, right? And, you know, let's see what we can move forward and do and join hands and commune and, you know, just, you know, unite together. You know, many of us, myself included, you know, I try to do things on my own. I do. Sometimes it gets really hard, doesn't it, when we try to do it on our own. But just think about it. If we united and we supported each other, how much we can not only uplift ourselves, we can uplift others that we believe in. And so that's what I try to do through Flavor News Radio and Flavor News, is to try to create something that feels like a win-win, that feels like a community, that feels like you have others that support you. You know, I can sit here and wave my leopard pom-poms for all of you, right? But, you know, that doesn't go so, you know, far enough, right? It really doesn't go far enough, you know, to just have little Lady Flavor out here in the Pacific Northwest. Sure, it's on me. I do. You know, and I've worked hard for it. But just think how much further we could go if we joined hands and we did it together. So, you know, I want you to think about that and, you know, how we can go, oh, somebody wants to join me on the phone. Okay, let me bring them in. You're from my own area code 206. Welcome to Flavor Coffee House.
Hey, Flavor, it's Ocho.
Ocho, how are you, my friend?
All right. I was just listening to the show, and you brought up the old Friday nights over at the coffee house, and you know, just want to let people know that was very, very for real. And, you know, since I was part of that, just it wasn't something you were just saying out there, but it was, it still has a lot of vibrant memories for me from back then.
Ocho, thank you so much for saying that. And thank you so much for calling in. It's been a long time since I've heard your wonderful, wonderful voice. This is a dear old friend of mine and actually one of the very first hosts of my open mics at my coffee shop when Ms. Flo started it for me. And Ocho stayed around and continued it. He's not, you know, he's not only just an amazing spoken word artist, you know, and a bilingual spoken word artist. You know, he plays, you know, congas and very active out here in the poetry circle in the Seattle area. So, yeah, I miss those days, Ocho. I do. You know, sometimes it just kind of brings tears to my eyes when I think about it, because I do miss it. And I miss all of you guys, you know, because don't you think what I was saying, Ocho, that, you know, it became like a community and family?
Oh, yeah.
Those
no,
Friday
it was,
nights.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I would get there about 5:30, but, you know, you didn't start till 7, but just walking around that area, Lake City, and people would look in from the window. People would come in, and then, like you said, we had musicians, and even when there was a different host, you know, I mean, it was just such a magical time. It was truly, it's hard to recreate that sort of magic, very, very difficult. I know a lot of poets are still trying. I'm kind of on the, every now and then I'll show up somewhere, but it's very hard to create the magic you created, you know, a few years back with this. And I've always keep saying, you know, if you ever decide to do a coffee shop again, I know it's a very, very difficult thing, but if you ever decide to do a coffee shop again, you know I'm going to be right there for you.
I appreciate that. It's so funny because people have been actually reaching out to me probably in the last 3 months about, you know, you really need to do it again. I mean, even my hat friends out there in Detroit, Michigan, Seven Ties, said, you know, maybe we should do a coffee shop, hat shop out there in Seattle. You know, and just, you know, and, you know, I was having this conversation with an artist that I work really closely with last night. So much of what stops what we do, Ocho, is money, you know. But I know that, like, when you see, at least for me, when I see you at the mic or I see you at the drums, you know, I know it's about the passion, you know, and just being able to come together and create something that, you know, makes sense for you, but hopefully makes sense for others. So, my dear friend, can you do me a favor?
Oh,
you
sure.
Do me a favor and spit a piece?
Oh. You know, it's only, I mean, you know, I know you speak to the East Coast, but it's still so early for me.
you might play to do it at nighttime. Maybe I could do it then.
You caught me off guard. I'm going to do this old wild place of mine. I'm going to have to find something. But I'm just... Hello? If you ever do
I'm
something...
Here.
No, no, my phone clicked off. I'm sorry.
Oh.
If you ever decide to do something, bring it closer to, you know, the south side of town where, you know, sort of a more mixture of, you know, folks are. And I think, you know, because the magic is, and I call it the magic. Whenever I talk about poetry, I call it the magic.
Mm-hmm.
The magic is spreading. I notice a lot of the big hits and a lot of stuff they put on commercials on TV, they put spoken word into it now, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And just to give a shout out to Alvin, because his is every time I've had somebody read that, it's better than 50 Shades of Grey. And so, I mean, he and I, you know, he's a good buddy of mine and yours too. So, you know, Flava can't find anything, so I'm just going to have to pick something off the top of my head.
Please do that. Pick it off the top of your head.
And go a little extemporaneous on you. And so if there's a little hitch in the giddy-up, it's just because it's only 9:20 in the morning on a Saturday, and I am not I'm not in best of form. So, but here goes. Buenos dias, Señora Flava. You know, the love that the earth and the moon brought today as I open my eyes to say to the world, hey, it's all a mixture of blood and skin and love and the soul and the spirit of the world that we look upon and say, God, thank you for another minute on this planet. God, thank you for another love. God, thank you for all the people that you know you're going to bless today. And today, I open my arms and say, welcome, world. How's that for you, Flavor?
Ocho, I miss you. I wish you were here so I could give you a big, big hug.
Okay. Anyway, I'm going to let you get on with the show because I pop in every now and then.
Okay.
And again, you know, and one of the reasons I always follow your posts on Facebook is because I'm still waiting for you to say, you know what, we're going to do a little coffee shop. But again, the south end is the brown end of town. You need to bring it down this way, okay?
Well, you know, it's funny, Ocho, because I live in Skyway now.
Oh,
and
seriously?
I do.
Good.
Yeah, so
oh.
When I saw that picture that you posted the other day of you and Alvin and Frenchie at
mm-hmm.
the coffee shop
ugly.
On Rainier. What's it called?
Mm-hmm.
I was
it was
like,
called
oh,
the
I,
Ugly Mug, but I think it's
the
called
The Ugly
something.
Mug, that's right.
Yeah.
It's like a Vietnamese bistro or something now.
Right,
but,
yeah.
That made me just smile, you know, because I've been there when Miss Flo's did the show there, and I can picture you guys there. So, no, I feel you on that one. I have to agree with you. If I was to do it again, it would be down this way. And the other thing is just to put out there, which I think I will talk to Verbal about. Verbal reached out to me about doing a reunion show.
Seriously? Wow.
Yeah.
Oh,
of
okay.
the Flava Coffee House people.
Uh-huh.
So what do you think about that?
That, no, wow. You now you woke me up. Now I'm wide awake. That is, you know, I mean, if you and Verbal could get together, that would be something because, you know, once we got all that troop together, that was incredible, especially at night. And I can't remember the name of the event that you had because you had artists from all over the country in there.
Oh, when I had the Wax Fest Literary Conference.
Right,
yeah.
And then that last night, that was quite an event. And I don't think people can imagine the size of how small your coffee shop was.
I know, it was packed, though, huh?
It was packed. And so that's what I say, because the two people that could bring back that kind of magic, again, I'm using that word, would be you and Verbal Oasis. And, you know, I mean, it's not out of the question that that something may fall into, you know, as a blessing to you about a little store, a little something somebody wants to, and you say, okay, we're going to, part of the business plan is to do this. You know, I know you might be saying in your mind, Ocho's crazy. He doesn't know what's going on in my life. He doesn't know all the problems I got, all the challenges. But you know what? I know you. So I don't need to know all that other stuff. I just know that if it's going to happen, and you just said that I had no idea, you're the person that's going to make it happen. I mean, think of all the people that have spawned out of that. Carl Kennedy, who's, you know,
yeah.
you know, doing his career. Alvin, you know, just to think
well,
about
Verbal
all
Oasis
Verbal.
And, you know, and Nichelle, you know, doing the aphrodisiac. And
exactly.
You know,
all those
yeah.
people spawned out of there. Miss Flo's, of course, you know, she's traveling from her Facebook thing over the country. So,
okay.
again, there's a young bunch of artists out here, a young bunch of young kids that don't spit rap and don't use a lot of, you know, profanity and defamation of females that are hidden in, you know, locked up in their rooms saying, how do I bring this out? How do I,
right.
you know, show, you know, some love? How do I show some word agility? They're all over, but, you know, they're so pressured by, you got to do something popular. You got to say something nasty. You got to talk about women in a derogatory way. You got to show some hate to your brother. And that kind of stuff, they're saying, that's not what I'm about. I'm about unity. I'm about getting with my Asian brother, getting with my white brother, getting with my, you know, just making everybody my soul brothers and sisters that they themselves are ostracized. and they're locked away. And I think the persons or person that could do that, you and verbal, you know, just put it out there that there's some young people, and Ms. Froze, of course, you know, to do the, and I, you know, don't know if she's listening or not, but anyway, I just think if anything can happen like that, because we got a lot of talent out here in Seattle, Pacific Northwest, there's a lot of powerful, powerful verbal artists that are here. You know, I tried another sort of hosting the last few years. That didn't work out, and that place just closed about a month ago. I discovered some other people. Yeah, the Seattle Mobile Expresso just abruptly closed. Well, you understand how that business is.
Oh, yeah.
So,
right.
Felt bad for her, but, you know, we gave it a try, you know, and and brought in some other people, some younger people, different. But, again, I don't know why the North End is so open to doing this, and we don't get the same kind of a coffee shop feel in the South End over here in the Brown End of Seattle. I don't know what's up with that. But, you know, hopefully
You know, I think that I definitely will talk to Verbal about doing a Flavor Coffee House reunion show, and then you just never know, like you said, you know, Verbal, you know, something, I mean, Ocho, something may open up, you know, and and somehow we bring it back, you know. So, you know, just put it out there to the universe, my dear friend, and I will do the same. And like you said, you just never know.
Yeah, too bad we didn't have a lot of videos. I know that there's the guy from, and I see his post, but he went back to his country. Oh, I can't think of his name. But he was from Eastern Europe, and he would film all the time. We didn't have YouTube back then. Otherwise, we would have been able to.
Is that Sean?
What's that?
Is that
coming
Sean?
On?
What's his name?
Sean.
Sean,
yes. But when you see, he posts on Facebook, but he uses, I think it's Sweden he's from. He puts his stuff in Swedish. But that's the only to survive of that time. So
I know. I think Alvin may have some video. You know, I don't know. So we could reach out to him and see what
well,
he might have.
There is a Alvin and I. He recorded three MP3s of us, and I've been telling him he needs to put it out there of him on the bass and me doing three pieces. One is The Preacher, where it's an extemporaneous piece. The other one is, he put it as a Sky Hill, but I was calling it the West Hill, where you are living now. It's a poem about that area. And so if you ever talk to him, just say, you know, at some point, those three. And I know I'm just waiting for Alvin to drop a CD at some point, because I know that will take the country by storm, just like his book will.
Right.
And I hope the brother's listening, because, you know, sometimes brothers, we don't like that touchy-feely kind of thing. And so we back away from each other. But the man is talented, and he's a multi-artist. So, and right now it's too early for me to remember the name of his book, but do make a mention. Make
perfect
a mention
circle.
A perfect circle. Again, Flava, we, me and another poet were out. The poet had just reviewed, Davi Reese had just reviewed Alvin's book. We're sitting in a bar, and this young lady said, well, what's that all about? You know, it couldn't be anything like 50 Shades of Grey. She started reading it. She walked away from us, went and bought the book and said, this is better. This is much better. So pass it on to Brother Alvin if you talk to him.
Definitely.
And again,
definitely.
Flavor, it's the things that you are, you know, that you gave seed to. So see if that opportunity is there. And, you know, of course I just call in because I heard you mention the old coffee shop. And the memories just kept coming in, and the music and the lights and, you know, and that little tiny space and that little tiny stage, you know, we did a lot of miraculous things in that little place. So anyway.
Yeah, we did. All right. Thank you so much, my friend, for calling in. You warm my heart, Ocho.
Okay.
You just don't know. So
right.
I love you,
hey,
and
I
look
to
forward
see
to
you.
Seeing
if you're
you.
In the South Bend here, we probably run into each other, okay?
Okay. All right.
All right. Take care.
All right. All right, Ocho. Bye-bye. Ah, what a special moment. You know, at the coffee shop, you just never know who might stop by. Oh, my goodness. I'm trying not to cry, but Ocho was one of the people that, like I said, he was the very one of the very first hosts. He and Six Deep, the messenger, alternated as far as, you know, hosting the open mics for me. And it was magic. I really wish that I could, you know, bring all of you to Flava Coffee House back in those days and on a Friday night just to see what what took place, who would come, you know, the diversity of ethnicities, to talents, to, you know, there were people that would come to the show that never got on the stage, that just came and loved the show, and by the time I closed the coffee house, they were getting on the stage too. So, Ocho, I love you, my friend. Thank you so much for calling in. There's another caller, so let me bring them in, and then I'll go to play in some more tracks. All right, caller from the 216. I'm wondering if this is my sister girl down in Houston.
This is me, howdy.
How are you, Neil Soldier?
I'm good, girl. How are you?
I am so good. I feel so very blessed this morning. I know you are one of those ladies that, you know, definitely knows what it's like to step out on faith and make some changes, huh?
Oh, yeah, girl, and congratulations. I am so excited for you. I really am. I know it's going to be blessed. I really do.
Well, you know, I mean, you going from, was it Cleveland or down to Houston or whatever, I know that. I don't know if you had, like, you know, some uncomfortableness or you were just gung-ho and ready to do it, you know, but it's an interesting task to just believe that everything's going to be okay. With that unknown,
you know,
huh?
It is. You know what's funny about it is, before I left, I was all excited, like, yes, I'm going to Houston. I'm leaving. You know, even my mom, she didn't believe me. I'm like, Mom, I'm going. I'm telling you, I'm going. And the closer it got, I'm like, I'm leaving. And then maybe a week or two before I left, I was like, I'm leaving? Oh, my God, I'm leaving. You know, and then the day comes to leave, you're like, I can't believe I'm leaving.
Right.
And, you know, one of my dear friends is Brian O'Neill, and his manager, Kelly Adolph, bless her, she came down from, got in the bus, came from Detroit to Cleveland, and got in the car with me. And when we crossed the state line, I turned and looked at her. I'm like, girl, did I just leave my family and all I know to go to a city where I don't know anybody? You know, and it was interesting. It was interesting. It has been, since that time, very interesting. But you know what? When you, the way you know that it's God is when the vision is too big for you to do by yourself. You know, it's huge. You can see it. You don't know how you're going to do it, but you just, you know, step on out there. And it's been wonderful. It has been absolutely wonderful. You know, if I had to do it all over again, I would have left sooner, that's all. I would have still left.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay. Now, I know that you've had some health concerns too, right?
I have. I'm still recovering from surgery.
Okay.
It, you know, I won't go into the details of it, but it started out being a little minor thing, and I'm like, well, let me just go to the emergency room and let them check it out. And I figured I'd be right back home with a, you know, handful of medicine. And next thing I know, they're going, well, we're going to have to admit you. You're going to be here a couple of days. You'll have surgery. And I'm going, excuse me? You know, because I, you know, I'm not a person that gets sick often. I used to have respiratory problems, which in the Midwest, which is why I left, but like sick, no. So it was a shock, you know, considering I just went to get checked up and, you know, next thing I know, I'm in the hospital with an IV for 5 days and drugs and surgery and everything. But everybody has sent me such well wishes and prayers and everything. And my dear friend, Brett Lewis, he runs bluesjazzradio.com, has been like the best friend of the century. I mean, this man has, you know, he has called and checked on me. He's, you know, held down my show for me on Sunday nights and just everything. So I thank everybody. Everybody's listening that has called, text, or emailed. God bless you. I feel great.
Well, I think the wonderful thing, and I hope you're okay that I even brought it up, Neil. I'm sitting here pouring cereal for my daddy in the background. You know, taking care of the family don't stop just because you got a radio show going on, right?
Not at all.
Got
not
daddy's
at all.
Coffee and now getting his cereal. But I guess the reason why I said that in a sense was, you know, I do want you to know that, you know, I mm-hmm. continue to have you in prayer, you know, that there are other people that are praying for you. And, you know, and one of the reasons why I ended up, I don't know, I almost think that God pushed me to the edge to make me make some changes. But, you know, one of the reasons mm-hmm. I was put in the position of resigning from my job was because I had extreme high blood pressure.
Okay.
And to the point that I could have stroked. And so, you know, it put me in a position due to the stress that I was dealing with at my job to just, in a sense, step out on faith, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And now that I left the job, I know my blood pressure's down, you know?
Right.
And
right, right.
Even though I'm on medication now, but which I don't plan on staying on, you know, but, you know, I feel different. My body feels different, you know? And.
Right.
You know, there's something sad about that money that holds you and says, you know, you got to continue working here even though it's not healthy for you.
Right.
You know, and right. then on top of it, I work with youth, and so I love my kids, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I love
mm-hmm.
my kids, but the people who I was working for was just not doing it right, you know.
Kids. Right. Right.
You know, and it's sad that it came to that, and, you know, but it pushed me to step out on faith, you know,
yeah.
And it feels good. It feels good. It's almost like, you know, I know that somehow everything's going to work out, and, you know, I can be here with my family, you know, take care of my elderly father, and, you know, I got three
right.
of my kids here and a grandchild that lives here, so there's four generations of my family under one roof. And
wow, wonderful.
Yeah, you know, and I think that I just know that everything's going to work out. You know, things are coming in, you know, falling into place when it comes to Flava and,
right.
you know, doing what I do through Flava News and stuff. But you know what,
right.
my friend, I want to play one of your pieces. I'm going to announce it. I don't normally do this. I bought Neo Social CD. I just want you to know that. I bought it this
wow.
morning.
Yay.
And can I just tell you that it's just absolutely amazing. So I'm going to play
thank
one of her
you.
Pieces. Which piece? Let me see. I'm going to play, you know what? I'm going to play Sister Girl. So this is Neo Soja, my girlfriend on the phone right now, all the way from Houston, Texas, and this is her piece, Sister Girl.
Body and soul for attention. You deserve more. you're nipping. No respect he's given. Nights and days to praise for his attack. Your only support his foot in your back. Jaw too slack, being broken into permanent sad smile. Sister, you ain't been happy in a long while. Step out the gestures, court to your queen of the rain. Wait for the man that's gonna let you breathe again.
Gotta get up and walk away. So come on, sister girl, tell me what you're gonna do.
With me, Neo Soldier. So, Neo, tell us about this CD. You know, how it was birthed and where people can buy it at.
Wow, NSV was like, okay, how many hours do you have? NSV, you talk about a leap of faith. That project took 4 attempts over the course of 6 years with 7 different producers in 4 states plus another country. I mean, really, you know, I tell this to anybody that's listening, when you have a plan that is a part of your destiny walk, nobody, I don't care who you ask, and they tell you all the wonderful things, but let me tell you something, it's going to be some ugly to it. But that's what's going to make it beautiful, you know. And that particular project, I almost didn't do it. If it wasn't for Michael Lloyd, he's an artist on his own. His name is Michael L. And another artist in Ohio named Ace Boogie. If it wasn't for them, I would not have finished that project. And it was just a labor of love. I mean, Ace, I was at his house every Saturday morning for 18 months, a couple of hours every Saturday. We would write. If I was burned out, he would take me to the store. We would buy paint. We'd come back and start painting, or we'd go have some sushi and come back. You know, I mean, he's really the extraordinary engineer and producer of the project. And Michael composed 13 of the 16 tracks that you hear. Sister Girl being one of them. Days, Do You Remember, came from an amazing producer over in Belgium named Rob Hart. And then Poetic Eulogy was designed by Ace Boogie. We did that Saturday morning after Michael Jackson died.
Mm.
So it was just a labor of love, you know, and I wanted to talk about everything. I wanted to talk about love and God and sex and everything in between. That track, Sister Girl, was actually written about a very good friend of mine who I found out years later was in one of the most horribly abusive relationships I had ever heard. She had contemplated suicide at one point. And so it just drove me to write that song to, you know, remind women of the jewel that they are. You know, you don't want to try to be overbearing when you talk to them, you know, so that's why I called it Sister Girl. I'm like, come on, Sister Girl, you know, you don't have to live like that. You know, you've been given a beauty and a grace, and your covering should not be black and blue. It should not be men laying their hands on you to try to beat you down. You know, so it was exciting. It was. I have live musicians and everything. It was just great. It was great.
Well, it's a beautiful project, and I definitely would, you know, recommend it, you know, to anybody who is just kind of loving that spoken word, that really solid, you know, with a good flow of spoken word and soulful vocals, I mean, it was like, you know, the first time that I heard you, of course, it was more directed. I think the pieces that Hassan sent me were, you know, more directed to your spoken word. And then I was like, oh, got a little taste. But when I purchased the album this morning, I was like, oh, well, she really can sing, you know. And and I think that's a beautiful thing. It's almost like when I experience a hip-hop artist that really can sing.
Right.
You know,
right.
To be able to do that, the both of it in one piece, I think it's a beautiful thing. But it is a beautiful project. And, you know, like I was saying earlier in the show about, you know, Christopher Fields' project, the man's got an amazing voice, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And when it comes to, you know, spoken word, you know, there are some artists I can really just sit and listen to all day. You know, and then there are others, I'll be honest, you know, I can only take bits and pieces. But you're one of those artists, I wish my Beetle was working and I could just throw your CD, you know, in the car and go riding, you know, because it would be great to travel with you. And,
thank you.
You know, but that's just, you know, I'm a lucky girl, Neil, I am. I'm a lucky girl because I have been blessed with meeting some amazing talents, but not only amazing talents such as yourself, but amazing people, you know.
Right.
Sometimes, you know, I'll be honest, you know, sometimes the art doesn't match up with the soul, you know.
Come on now.
Like, did you really create that and you're doing
yes.
this? Okay, there's something wrong here because that doesn't really match up,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah, you know, I have to admit there's some people whose projects I won't buy because I know them when they step off the stage. And,
yeah.
You know, to me, I don't care how talented you are, if you are one of the worst people I've ever met when you get done,
mm-hmm.
then you're not worthy of my money. You know, the
yeah.
ability to stand on a stage and perform for people for a living, that's a privilege. It's not a right.
Right.
You don't deserve to do it just because you have some talent. And so the attitude that you bring to it, that mindset of, you know, you need to bow down to me because I'm the artist of the night. And unfortunately, a lot of them that have that ego don't have the talent to match. You know? So I'm a firm believer that the gifts we were given were to enrich other people's lives. You know, it's not for you. You get to benefit from it, but it's really
mm-hmm.
not for you. The more you give of it, the more it will bless you and prosper you. But it's not meant for you. You know, I share with you real quick, lady, the best, probably the greatest joy I had out of that whole project, it wasn't, you know, the nominations. I mean, I've been nominated for some awards, and, you know, it's been played. I've been blessed in 16 countries, and I've gotten some great reviews. But there was a lady I worked with, and I won't say where, but it was in Ohio, and this lady had lost her son years and years ago. It's probably been about 10 years now, and almost every day we would get on the train and she would cry all the way home. She was unconsolable because
mm-hmm.
he died of an aneurysm and she didn't know. She thought he was just
mm-hmm.
a little bit sick and didn't take him to the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
And we were talking one day and I gave her my CD. We were talking about music. I gave her my CD. She came back to me a day or two later. And she hugged me. She said, you know, I was listening to your CD and I was listening to the song you have on there, Life in the Key of Relativity. And she said, you know, I played it. I was in the bed. That was the first time I slept all the way through since my son died.
Hmm.
And that, you know, I'm getting emotional thinking about it. But
yeah.
that's why we do it.
Right.
You know, that's why we do it. I mean, I have my erotic side, like the best of them. You know, I can get men pregnant
mm-hmm.
with my words. We all have that, you know.
Right.
we do. I know I have a disclaimer. Every time I crack open my red book, I have a disclaimer that I read when I'm doing the shows, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But it is to bring people joy. It's to make them laugh, cry, fall in love, think, be empowered, whatever it's for. So when you meet somebody that has a beautiful spirit behind it, it's great. It's great. You know, I'm missing
right.
my friend Alvin. I don't know where he is.
I
and Alvin,
where
if you're listening,
he?
You better call in and say hi to me before I threaten you. Because, you know, when he called me last year on my birthday, I mean, he called with his guitar and he sang this beautiful birthday song. And oh my God, he didn't know at that time. I was feeling so depressed at that moment, and that man called and just made my day.
Yeah.
You know, things like that. Things like that. So, yes, you are. You are blessed. Everybody I've met through you have been incredible people.
Yeah. You know, sometimes I sit back and I'm in awe. You know, like, how did this happen, right? You know, like,
right.
How did I get connected? Why? You know, and, you know, I'll put it out there. Not everybody likes me. You know, it's just a fact. Not everybody likes me, and I'm okay with that. You know,
yes.
In the beginning, it wasn't so easy, you know,
like,
okay, well, what did I do to them? You know, and I've gone through this thing where people's never had a conversation, but they're sitting out there with my name in their mouth, you know, I'm like, you've never even talked to me. So what do you even know, you know, and stuff. But I had to really be okay with that, you know, and I, as most of you that follow me know, I can be pretty opinionated.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and I'll put my thoughts out there. And I put my thoughts out there, or I put a topic out there just to see how people would react. You know, what are your thoughts around this? Or if you send me something, you want my honest opinion, right? Not really.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but, and it's just my opinion. It comes from where I am within who I am as Lady Flava. It's my opinion. It doesn't mean that it's going to be the, you know, everybody's going to have the same opinion. It's my opinion.
Right.
You know, sometimes I do sit back and I'm like, really? Did you read the same book I read? Because it did not go like that.
Right.
You know, I also realized that, you know, I think somebody who's maybe considered a professional versus a family member will review something very differently. You know, if it's my child, okay, I'm going to be so proud it's my child, right? Versus reading somebody's book for a review that I don't know. You know, and it is easier to review something of somebody you don't know.
Right.
And be honest with it versus somebody that you do know and be honest. Because I've hurt some people's feelings, you know, that, you know, have been close to me. And I'll be honest with you guys. Y'all could tell me, Flava, you're wrong. I made a decision going into 2013. I really wasn't going to become friends with artists.
I was.
And the reason being was, because when they come to me wanting to talk about their art, things fall apart. Especially if my opinion doesn't go the direction they want it to go.
Right.
And so, and it doesn't mean that people aren't going to become my friends. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You know, as we establish relationships or whatever, things happen, right? But it was like, Flava, just set a little stronger boundaries. You know, and all of that, and yeah. So y'all can just slam me. Oh, Flava doesn't want to be our friends. You know, but it doesn't.
You know what?
I think.
Go ahead. No. You go ahead and finish your thought.
Oh no, I forgot it.
Well, like,
it happens. I'm old. I'm menopausal. Okay, so like,
girl, we're on the same street. Don't even try it. Sometimes I have to write down a thought. I'm like, okay, remember to say this. You know what? What I'll say is this. I wouldn't say don't be friends with artists, but I would say put boundaries to your friendships. Yeah. You know, now me, I have always been opinionated, and that part of me has afforded me doors to be able to do some things. You know what I mean? I was a senior editor and helped develop a magazine, Blueprint of Soul Music. We ran that for a couple of months successfully. And have some other ventures coming up. You know, I have my own blog. And then now I run a two-hour spoken word show on Sunday nights.
Mm-hmm.
And so people come to me and you're like, can you listen to my CD and tell me what you think? Now I'm going to direct this to the artist first. I didn't come on your show to drop a kegger bomb, but I think I'm about to. So
no,
be okay.
Go ahead. I'm okay with it.
Everybody know, if they say don't let Neo Soldier back on again, you know, I'll let them know up front. I love you. And you know, this is my disclaimer. I love you, and I'm telling you this as an artist because I love you, okay? When you ask someone to review your project. You're doing it because you respect their opinion, and you want to know. You see what they're doing in music. You see, you know, maybe you see their connections, or you see they have a platform. And so you want to know because they bring on quality music. That being said, respect their opinion. If they don't like your material, first find out why. Now, anytime I tell somebody something about their music I don't like, I tell them why. There's a young man that inboxes me on Facebook, and he sends me product, and I told him he has great vocals. And, you know, but his music is, it's something to be desired to it. It is. And so I didn't go, oh, my God, it's awful. I let him know from a technical standpoint where he could have some room for improvement. Now, if he chooses to get offended with that, then that's his choice. But
right.
You did ask my opinion because you see this is what I do. And so what I'm going to do is take your project and lay it up against every other project that I have reviewed and see how it stacks up.
Mm-hmm.
So if I tell you, well, you know, I think your music needs to be a little bit stronger, or, and I've gotten on poets about this, okay, look, if you're going to be Ebonic, but if you're going to use the English language, find out what the word means. It does not mean this, so you can't use it here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and for you to then get an attitude and walk away, shame on you. That's on you. And to get an attitude with us for giving you the honest opinion, double shame on you. Never be so arrogant as an artist as to think, number one, you're always right, and number two, everybody's going to like you.
Right.
You can have a great project, but that person doesn't like you. I think NSV is fantastic. I think it's wonderful. I think it should have had a Grammy. But there are people that don't like NSV, and I'm okay with that. You're never going to be everybody's style. You're not going to be everybody's flavor. You know, so now when people ask me for reviews, well, thankfully I have a cushion now because I'm affiliated with the radio network and soon upcoming venture with an incredible lady named Jasmine Sanders. And so because of that, you know, I don't do reviews as freely as I used to because now there's different things behind my name. And also my Jazz Syndicate Management Productions over in London, I'm affiliated with them. So now when people ask me for a review, thankfully I can back off and go, well, wait, let me see if I can do it. But then at the front of the review lady, I tell them, okay, this is my opinion. You
right.
can take it or not take it. So I would say to you, if there's somebody you've met and you want to be friends with them, you be friends with them. But if they ask you for your opinion, you would not be a friend to them if you didn't tell them the truth.
Right.
And if they can't handle the truth, they were not your friend to start with.
Right. No,
you know?
And I feel you on that, and I appreciate everything that you said, honestly, Neo Soldier, because, you know, and it is something that I think about. It's something, you know, that, you know, I think, you know, I come probably from a different perspective than you do, you know, in reviewing something. And I think that's okay, you know, because the experience of somebody's arts, we're all going to receive it a different way in who we are as individuals, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So how you might experience something may be totally different than how I experience it. That's okay,
right.
You know, but it is difficult, you know, in many ways. And so I guess I probably shouldn't go as strong as to say I don't want to be artists' friends. But, it, you know, I did decide that I was going to go into this year very different, you know. I'm okay with that. I really am. You know, so far this year is working for me, you know.
Okay.
And, you know, not saying it's perfect, you know, by no means.
Right.
I didn't want to get blood pressure to the point I could have a stroke or whatever, you know. And whatever, but, you know, I think this year is going well. So I do want to bring up a topic because I know that you had told me that, you know, you were going to come and hang out with me. So I hope you're
okay
if I bring up a topic.
Bring
and
it
I
up
do
so
want.
I'm here.
And I'm going to put it out there again, Miss Amina out there in New Jersey. I know somebody has a show tonight, hint, hint, in New York or something, maybe at the Sugar Bar or something. Anyway, I'm not really sure, you know, but I'm thinking somebody might need to, like, call in. I'm not sure, Miss Amina, hint, hint. And hello, Joanna, down there in Shreveport. Hey, Joanna, the storyteller down there in Shreveport, Louisiana, somewhere. Anyway, I see y'all. Thank you so much for hanging out with us today. And I believe my baby girl down there in the Bay Area is hanging out with us. But I wanted to talk about, what does it really look like in building win-wins, you know, with people? Because I see a lot of one-sided things going on. Mm-hmm. I feel like there are a lot of people that are okay with me waving my leopard pom-poms. I'll just use myself as an example. Lady Flavor's going to do it, so that's it. Do you know how wonderful it would be if everybody who I played their music let people know I played their music?
Come on now.
If nothing else. Huh. You know, I went to this membership thing, and the reason why I had gone to a membership thing a little over a year ago was, you know, and I asked for $1 a month. So that's $12 a year, right? Mm-hmm. I asked for $1 a month because that would help absorb the expense of the radio show, whatever. You know, it would, because everything needs a financial foundation to grow from, right?
Right.
And then, so cool. You know, I got probably 100 artists that right off the bat. So cool. You know, a good part of last year I was able to cover the expense of the radio show, not coming out of my own pocket.
Right.
You know, then after, you know, the trial thing, I said, you know, I would grandfather anybody in who joined at the dollar a month thing for the rest of the life of Flavor News and Flavor News Radio and all of this. And what you get out of it is that I'll play your music, you know, on the radio show. I will put you on my website. I will post you out to different social networks, You know, I'll do it. You know, you keep me informed, you keep me updated with your projects, your music, I'll play it, you know, I'll support it, whatever it is. Well, not very many artists really kept me updated, you know, what was going on with them. And, you know, it's not always easy to say, okay, I heard you had new music, did you want to send it to me?
Right,
you know,
yes.
You know, or whatever, you know. So it was like, okay, I had to just say, if they want me to do something, they know how to find me, you know.
Exactly.
It's easy to find me, you know. So then we moved into this great house, you know, in South Seattle and everything. And so I'll be honest, some of my Flavor Coffee House and Flavor News stuff is still in storage. I haven't finished my studio here at the house for Flava, and so it's still in stores. So I don't have my records of, you know, who paid and when they paid, you know, because I went from year to year from when the person, you know, joined the membership. Then I went up to $5 a month or $50 a year if he joined. Well, to me, it's like $5 a month. What, people pay more for a pack of cigarettes in Seattle than $5, you know, so it's like, okay, you know, are you saying that supporting this movement that includes you isn't worth $5 a month?
Right.
So then I was rethinking that, and I'm really blessed that there are some people that, who are my business partners, that said, you know what, let me sponsor a show, and we'll pay, you know, every month to sponsor a show on Flavor News Radio, you know, so... Black Stack stepped up, and Mark from Marlex Records, my business partner, stepped up. And so, you know, they're paying for specific shows. But so anyway, so it's like, what does a win-win look like? You know, I know, I'm sure you as an artist and as a radio show host and all of that, people said to you, Neil Soldier, we love you. You are amazing. And that's it. You know, but then they're spending $75 to go see Beyonce. To sit in the rafters. Get their hair done, their nails done, and a new outfit that Beyonce's never going to see.
Or care to look at.
You know what I mean? But it's like, they'll jump up and they place value on something because the media tells them they should place value on it. when there's something really substantial, organic, you know, grassroots,
yes,
that you can be a part of and help grow and nurture and put out there like a Beyonce.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And it's like,
yes,
how do you get people to understand their power of what they can do to grow something? You know, I tell my girl Amina all the time, I'm going to get out there to New York. I am going to see you and Wisdom perform at the Sugar Bar, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to be there one day, and I, you know, my girl Coley Williams out there in Baltimore, Washington, D.C., I said, I am going to walk through the doors of JoJo's, and I'm going to hear you sing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm putting it out to the universe because these are things that I really want to do, you know. I believe
right.
in y'all. You
right,
know,
right.
If I had all the money on the earth, I would buy every single CD, book out there, piece of art. My house would just be covered with indie,
me
you
too.
Know, indie artists.
Yeah.
It just, it really
yes,
would.
Me too.
That's how passionate I am about this. And
right,
it and
right.
it bothers me when I hear people say, I love Neo Soldier. Okay, well, what does that mean? Did you buy her CD? Did you pay $10 for her CD? Are you helping her grow her movement? Are you going to the Sugar Bar to see Amina and Wisdom and, you know, perform and paying $10 to get in the door there, you know? And it's like, okay, what does that really mean to say, I love them? I love you, Lady Flava. You know, if you think about it, okay, what got... I'm not up there like some of the big boys, but I got like 3,400 people on my friends list just on Facebook, right?
Mm-hmm.
If half of them gave a dollar, do you know what I could do with Flava News to support you guys better?
Right, right, right.
So,
yeah.
So okay, so I ran my mouth. So what does it mean to build win-wins, in your opinion, Neil?
You know what? It is, I'm glad you brought the subject up, and, you know, like I said a minute ago, I'm very outspoken. People know me for that, so I don't hold my tongue. And I'm prefacing what I'm about to say with that because
mm-hmm.
I'm about to say some things, and excuse me, and if anybody from Cleveland is listening, if you try to take it in the wrong light, you know I will call you out, so don't get cute. But... I know people ask me why I left Cleveland, and I always told them, I said, it's because I didn't have the opportunities afforded to me that I needed to make it successful there as Neo Soldier. There were not enough gigs. There was not enough room to be done. Now, there was plenty of room for gigs, but there wasn't enough opportunity. And it comes down to a little bit of what you were saying. Why is it that, you know, we won't support that local artist, but we'll go out and spend, you know, if you get a $75 ticket for Beyonce, you're sitting in the nosebleed section.
Right, right.
Because those tickets are expensive, baby.
Right.
You know,
right.
I remember when you could pay $45 for a ticket to see three people. Now, you know, the tickets are $100 and you might get the middle of the arena.
Right.
And it's because, you know, we as artists, but we as people, and I don't mean black, white, or whatever, but we as people, we tend to gravitate more toward what doesn't cost us anything. And you look, and it's very prevalent, and it's very indicative of our society now because we have free downloads. It hurts me when I see an artist post free download of my new album.
Mm-hmm.
That hurts me. It hurts me like I can't describe because I've been in the studio. Now, granted, I went above and beyond what most poets do. They'll use, you know, they'll have somebody compose them a track, which does take a while. But the piano you hear of mine is a real piano. It's a real lead guitar, real bass, real drums, real saxophone. I used real musicians. When you go in the studio, even if you're going in with tracks, somebody had to sit down at the computer for a couple of hours to put that together.
Mm-hmm.
It took you hours to write it. It took you hours to record it. It took you money to get it mixed, mastered, replicated, duplicated, pressed, printed, and in their hands.
Mm-hmm.
And for us to feel like You're not an artist if you don't give it to us free. Where is the, what happened? What happened that we feel that that person should labor and toil and go in the studio and spend thousands of dollars? My project was thousands of dollars because it was live.
Right.
Spend all that money, and then you want it for free.
Right.
You know, or you want a discount. Someone made a complaint because, now you can get my project on Bandcamp. That's the only place you can get it now, bandcamp.com. And someone made a comment to me about it being $10. Well, you can usually bid whatever you want. I'm not going to let you have my product for $3.
Mm-mm.
I think, one, like the scripture says, a servant is worthy of his hire. I've given you 16 tracks. On Bandcamp, you can get 18. You get one I never released with Brian O'Neill, and you get a live one from the Philly Jazz Festival.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, if you're saying that you love me and you're going to make this a win-win for me, then you're going to support me in everything I do. I don't expect you to come to every show. An artist changes their shows up periodically, so I don't expect to see you at every show. But we tend to go toward that thing that's familiar and not venture out into new things. The thing I was going to say about Cleveland was the last gig I had there was a result of a gig prior to that that I only got because the owner of the restaurant wanted a poet that could sing. Now, at that time, when it came to the mainstream poets, because I'm sure there are some, you know, that I hadn't heard or whatever, but when it came to mainstream poets, I was the only poet in Cleveland that sang on a professional level. Not saying there aren't some that sing, but I sang on a professional level.
Okay.
And so the guy that ran the band, wonderful friend of mine in Hubs Groove, Robert Hubbard, he called me and he said, you know, you came to mine. And I teased him and I said, I only came to mine because you don't have anybody else. And we laughed about it, you know.
Right.
And he
right.
told me, he said, you know what, honestly, I forgot that you sang. I really did. Well, that was okay. You know, I mean, I let that go. That was okay. But the sad part about it was he forgot that I sang.
Mm.
And the reason he forgot was because there were no opportunities for it to be shown.
Okay.
So when you see an artist out here and they're trying to do their thing, in order to make them win-win, support them.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you know me. If I see something, if I catch you online and you're talking about something you're doing, share. And I don't just share, I say something about it. Support this person. They're doing this, they're doing that. You need to support this person. The truth of the matter is, indie is the new mainstream. That is my mantra for 2013.
Mm-hmm.
Indie is the new mainstream. You are not going to get what you want on the radio. Brett Lewis, the gentleman I talked about, his name now is Jazzy B on the air, but you'd have to interview him. He has 30 years of history in the industry, and when he told you who he is, you'd be like, oh, okay. But he shared something with me. He said, you know, we don't realize the power we have. With radio stations, when they let you know that it's time for their licenses to come up, this I didn't know. So anybody listening, pay attention. When a radio station, a mainstream radio or television station, says their license is due for renewal, and you can find the files in their main offices, at that time, you as a patron of their show, you have the right to go down there and file a complaint about the quality of the product that they give you.
Mm.
And guess what?
Okay.
The FCC will look at it.
Okay.
If they get enough complaints, the FCC will make them do something about it.
Okay.
But we don't want to do that. That would cost
right.
us something. It would cost
right.
us paying attention. It would cost us going down there. It would cost us voting.
Right.
You know, so that's what
right.
I mean about it's going to cost you something. You know, we love the individual artists, but we don't want it to cost us any more than, you know, pulling up YouTube and watching their latest video. We're not going to come out of the house.
Right.
We're not going to buy a CD, you know. So I think that's what it is, Flavor. I think that if we really loved our artists the way we say we do, we'd invest in them. I'm like you.
Right.
You know, there are people out there, they don't even know I have their product. I'll go on Amazon, girl, and burn my card. I'll just reserve. Okay, I've got $100. You know, I'm going to blow $100 mm-hmm. today and just boom, 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 buy a bunch of product and mm-hmm. put it out there on my show on Sunday nights. I play mm-hmm. people that people have never heard before from all over
right.
the world because
right.
there's great stuff out here. But, you know, we don't want to do that. We want to – I don't understand it. I don't know why you want to pay – why would you rather pay $125 for a ticket, $20 for parking, $15 for gas, probably
mm-hmm.
on a date with somebody you may not like, $75 for your hair to get done, you
right.
know,
right.
$75 for your hair to get done, $150 for an outfit. You have invested $500 into this night. And you
right.
will knock on Bandcamp and spend $10.
I know.
For a quality product.
Well, and here in Seattle, I don't know if it's done other places, but here in Seattle, there are a lot of artists who have that VIP list and have at least, you know, a good 30 people on the VIP list that get in free.
Yes.
And don't pay a dime, you know. Why you let everybody in for free? I understand maybe letting your woman in, your man in, your mama,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
your manager, whatever, right?
Right.
You know, each artist let in one or two people, right? But your
right.
whole everybody that's in the club got in free.
Okay.
Is that because you don't trust that you're worth them paying to get in?
Wow.
I had somebody send me a text and say, Flava, can I get in free to your show? And so I said, okay. I mulled it over. I said, okay. Do you know the next day he was posting that he was at Snoop Dogg's concert? Now, do you think that Snoop Dogg let him in for free?
Didn't even know he was there.
You know what I mean? So it's like, it's interesting. But you know what? I'm going to bring in another caller, Neil, to join in the conversation. I think I know
okay.
who this is. Okay, do I get to cry? Is this Amina?
Okay, now I had to unmute myself. Yes, this is Amina. Peace and blessings, ladies. How are you? Is Neil
and Mama, how are you?
I am.
How you doing, girl?
I'm doing good. Let me tell you something. When you called in, I said, what? Texas? Oh, my God, this woman moves. And I mean, literally and figuratively, because I had the pleasure of seeing her perform at Clay Corley's Spotlight on Jazz and Poetry, and I believe it was the very first one. And, yeah,
right.
vocally, lyrically, musically, figuratively, literally, this woman moves. She moves, and she moves people. So it's a pleasure to be on with both of you. Thank you.
Thank you, girl.
I'm so happy. When I saw you in the chat room and everything, I'm like, can I just get her to call in? Will she call in?
I know. And I was on mute because I was talking to one of my sons, and I said, okay. It was a good look because I could listen to you while I'm trying to get ready for tonight's show, which you had talked about a few times, which I really, really appreciate.
Okay,
and,
so tell us about the show tonight.
Okay, so basically, Wisdom Supreme and I are two-thirds of a wonderful poetry collaboration called Active Poets, and our partner, Alexander the Griot, a.k.a. Cream Omega, is the host of this wonderful event. His management team, TE Music, puts this on at Ashford & Simpson's restaurant, which is called The Sugar Bar, in New York City, Midtown, on West 72nd Street. And they've embraced us poets, and it's been wonderful to have a residency there, to be able to go every last Saturday of the month and perform, because it's a showcase of all kinds of talent. We've had spiritual and gospel music and R&B, and we've had rock, a great rock band, a hip rock band, from D.C. that had come up called Grind, Stress, and Black. I mean, it's wonderful. And the management team, TE Management, who does this, their R&B artists themselves, they're called Deja Vu, two sisters who have the biggest hearts on the planet, Crystal and Cheryl Alford. So it's an honor and it's a pleasure, especially to be able to do this with family And Wisdom is definitely my brother.
Yeah,
I mean, just such a beautiful person, such an amazing spirit, such a selfless heart. Yeah, so it's wonderful. It's wonderful to be a part of this, and especially to allow, you know, us to bring poetry and music together that way. You know, it's an honor. And to be on a stage with some really famous people, some great artists, signed and unsigned, have graced that stage. So we have a ball. We have a ball. It's a family atmosphere, and it's tonight, and the doors open at 7 p.m., and the showtime is pretty much around 8 o'clock. So anybody who has my phone number or can hit me up in my inbox, give me a call so I can reserve a spot for you, because when the seats get full, the seats get full. And people will roll their eyes.
Is it a free event?
It's actually not. I wasn't sure if I could mention that, because I know sometimes on terrestrial radio they say, don't mention prices.
Oh, no, please mention price.
Okay.
Yes.
So there is a cover charge of $10. And and it's a great atmosphere, like I said. Fusion, I like to call it fusion soul food, because it tastes just like soul food your grandmama used to make. But, you know, the presentation is so, you know, impeccable when you see this stuff on your plate. Sometimes it's almost too pretty to eat. Yeah, so to get that combination, to have something like looking really, really, really pretty on the plate, and then you taste it and it tastes like something that your grandma from South Carolina used to make, that's an amazing thing. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, that's an amazing thing.
I asked about the price because, you know, I wanted to reiterate to people what we were just talking about, you know, investing in this person. Don't call her asking for, come on people, don't call her asking for her to reserve you a seat and you're going to break, you want it to be free $99, okay? It costs.
And I appreciate that. I really, really appreciate that, especially knowing what you put into your craft, what you put into the art, what you put, you know, the gift that you give. It's a gift, sure, but, you know, when we give gifts, we still have to pay for them, you know.
Come on. Exactly.
Yeah.
When I have my coffee shop, you know, I mean, I have to break it down, what it costs to make a cup of coffee, from the cost of the cup, the lid, you know, the electricity to make the boiling water, you know, the grind, the coffee bean to grind to, you know, make the espresso, you know, the milk, different types of milk, the syrups, you know, whatever.
Right.
I had to break it down,
right?
And then I had to figure out how many cups did I need to sell in a day to even break even.
So
when you think about that, you know, one of my mentors, and she's a businesswoman. She's not an artist. She's a strict businesswoman. So if you have somebody like that in your world, they will bring it to you in a different way. She says, Susan, how many hours does it take for you to read a book? I said, maybe 10 hours, just depending, you know, on what the book is, how, you know, if I have the time to just sit down and read it straight through, if I have to take breaks because of whatever. She says, well, think about if you charge minimum wage for every hour that you read that book. Then you have to write the review, right? And then you have to, then you post it somewhere for the author. She says, your time is money. And until you recognize the fact that your time is money, you're going to stay broke. You know,
and I
say that with, you know, like how Neil had talked about, like the hours going into studio, you know, having to pay for studio time. You know, if you're somebody who's recording out of your home, you have to pay for the electricity, the internet, the program on the internet, you know, to record. I mean, you think about all of this and then you give your stuff away for free. You know, and, but then, like, you know, I use the $75 for the nosebleed section for Beyonce, but there are people who will do that. You know?
It's absolutely true.
And you know, and Beyonce doesn't even know your name or doesn't even know that you're there. You send her a message on Facebook, on Twitter, she's not going to know you, you know, or whatever. And so it's just, to me, being Lady Flava, it is so exciting to be a part of your, you know, your journey. You know, even if I'm in Seattle, Washington, and Amina's in New Jersey, you know, by, you know, back and forth to New York, Philadelphia, whatever, or Neo Soldiers, you know, in Texas. you know, I get to sit here and be a part of your journey. You know, again, if I had all the money in the world, I would be buying everybody's thing. I would be flying someplace and being somewhere every night so I could experience somebody that I believed in. You know, but I'm broke, and, you know, as I announced, I resigned from a job. So, you know, we're working on unemployment right now. But, you know, the best that I can do is to wave my leopard pom-poms. You know, the best I can do is play your music on my radio show. The best I can do is repost behind you. But I'm somebody else besides you doing it. And I think that there's a value in that, too.
Right, and that's what we do because we're family, you know, and that's one of the biggest, that's one of the most beautiful parts of this independent artist journey, having that sense of family and truly being able to, you know, go to a show and hug a Neo Soldier and buy her CD, not ask her for it, but buy it, and have her sign it, you know, and take a picture and talk and then being able to pick up a phone, or to be able, like you said, to repost and post and read things and still communicate, even though Lady Flavor is in pretty much on the Pacific and I'm over here at the Atlantic, but being able to still communicate and reach out and support each other. You know, I don't see every one of my cousins all the time. I have cousins who I absolutely love and adore, but I don't see them, what, maybe every 5 years? It doesn't stop me from loving them. It doesn't stop me from supporting them.
Right.
We're just not in the same proximity. And that's fine, but I'm going to tell anybody where they are. Anyone in Seattle, as a matter of fact, I have some friends who are doing a retreat in Seattle, and I want them to reach out to you. I want them to know, like, listen, you need to be in this woman's presence. You need to feel some of that positivity, you know? Yeah. Well, it doesn't stop.
And I have to say this before I go any further is that I think I felt so overwhelmed when Ocho called because Ocho's part of my foundation of Lady Flavor, you know. So to be honored by him calling into the show, then to have, you know, Neil and you, Amina, to call in, you are like women. You are like what I say the epitome of an amazing, strong woman is. It's, you know, there's a spirituality that I feel about both of you. And there is a holisticness that I feel. And that's something that's really good for my soul. You know what I mean? So even though I've never met either one of you in person, you know, experienced you in person, there's something that feels just really beautiful about just knowing that you're out there. And, you know, as I, like, work on changing my diet and becoming, you know, more natural in what I consume into my body and all of that, you know, I watch what Amina's putting out there and things. And so I just want you to know that the two of you are women I really look up to and appreciate just being connected because I don't know how to really express what I'm trying to say to you. So I hope you are sensing what I'm feeling.
I do.
But it's such a great respect. Mm-hmm. You know, my daddy told me when my girls were really small and I was going through a divorce, he said, Susan, you want your daughters to be around women they can look up to and know what a woman is.
That's right.
And so it's kind of like that sense that I have for the two of you. So I thank you so very much for calling in today.
Aw, thank you.
So before I go any further, I have to play this track, Amina. I have to. I'm so excited to finally have a piece.
We have music from Amina all right now.
I do, and I'm so excited. I've been trying to beg Sean Bay for some pieces, right? I don't beg very well, I mean, this is like going back to like MySpace days, you know?
Yeah.
of that. And when we first started getting on Blog Talk Radio and all that good stuff, you know, these amazing spoken word artists I became connected with kind of like in the beginning of the days, right? When I heard this piece yesterday, I was like, okay, Amina, can I like really get this? Because I really need some. So anyway, I finally have a piece, and it's It features Yay. Amina and Shambe, and this is called Silence Blue.
Blue, I dare to dream. I dare to believe with outstretched arms of faith in the unseen. Supplicating, I dare to ask society fundamental questions that challenge the foundation of this pseudo-racial existence. Like, light is right yet physically weak, relying upon the labor of others. Conversely, the darker element is pestiferous, dummied down by prided prejudice. What is there to say? In the silence of blue, truth comes naturally, and the answer lie within the profundities of the questions, whether we seek them on paths laden by highs and lows, whispers from the air and from the seas.
The tongue is a sword for both peace and war. And the most trained warrior knows to unsheath when honor is the purpose. For to do otherwise is to incite war unnecessarily. And the warrior knows every consequence of action and moves accordingly.
Sometimes silence is better than truth. Sometimes truth manifests through loud silence. Limit their minds because they're thinking in linear. Rather, elevate yourself with spiritual upliftment, keeping your head out of the clouds, yet elevated as high as the heavens. You cannot pave a path to freedom without carving a way, without pebbles or stone to lie, and without a foundation. In the silence of blue, can we hold justice to a higher standard underneath glass ceilings? Can you save the world with someone worldly by your side? Can you save yourself if you cannot see yourself in the silence of blue skies? Can you save the world with someone worldly on the inside? Can you save yourself if you don't know where to find yourself? In the silence of blue moonlight.
Even the truth has its moments of silence. and it gains greater power by resting, while a multitude search for its voice. Those who unsheath their tongues recklessly wound themselves, and even the smallest of wounds could prove fatal. It is better to be renowned for what you are capable of saying than to be ruined by what is said.
If you don't get started, you will never get finished. The sky is the limit. Blessings are limitless.
Silence of Blue by Amina and Shambe.
Nice.
Thank you.
Nice.
Thank you. Thank you.
I like that.
Thank you. I really appreciate that. Yeah, Shambe, Shambe's a funny guy because we've been friends for a long, long time and he knows me very well. And he sends me this SoundCloud link and says to me, it's time. And I look and I see Silence of Blue because this is something we did 6 months ago. And
okay.
I kept saying, wait, I think there's something else. I think there's something more. I think there's something else. Wait, And so he sends me this link 6 months later and says, this is time. And I said, okay. Yeah, okay. But it feels good when somebody has to kind of sometimes, guide you. Because we all need guidance
right. To
a certain extent, to a certain degree. Yeah, and I appreciated that. I really appreciated that. Yeah, I'm happy. Thank you. Thank you so much. Yeah. Thank you.
Well, I have so much respect for both of you, you know, just as individuals. And, you know, just to be able to experience the two of you together, that was pretty special for me. This is
yeah. The
beautiful thing about technology now, to have somebody on one side of the United States and somebody on the other side of the world, you know, be able
mm-hmm.
to collaborate, you know, on a
mm-hmm.
piece together, you know,
yeah.
that's
mm-hmm.
such a beautiful thing. But, you know, and Shambe's so deep. He's so
yeah.
deep. It's like, he's one of those people, you read his post and you're like, you just have to stop. You just have to stop
mm-hmm.
and just take it in, you know.
Yeah.
And so I was just so excited. You know, I mean, when I saw that, I'm like, okay, all right, this is my time. I'm going to start begging. I'm just going to really
yeah.
start begging, you know, and get, you know, and get some pieces, you know, by both of you. But to have a piece together was just really, really special for me. So thank you so much for,
You're
you know,
welcome.
Allowing me to download that and share that
You're
on my
welcome.
Radio show. But to
You're
have
welcome.
You on
well,
the air with me.
Well, as a matter of fact, now that you say that, I'm going to make sure that I get the others that I promised to you, I will definitely be emailing those to you ASAP.
Okay.
So
all right.
I'm going to interject. You haven't promised me any, but, you know, I have a radio show, too, so, and I know how to beg, you know, and
oh
so, you know, I put on my begging skills, too, and,
uh-uh.
you know.
Oh, I'm so sorry. All my sisters have to do is ask. Never beg,
mm-hmm.
and inbox me your email or send it to me, however you need to get it to me, so I can make sure that my sisters have what they need, because I appreciate you. I really, truly do.
Will do,
well,
will do. Yeah, I would love to have it.
And the thing
Thank
is
you.
Is that, you know, there's relevance. You know, when something has substance or relevance,
right,
it's timeless.
Right.
You know what I mean? So it's
mm-hmm.
not like, okay, today is the only day that I can share that piece or to share Neo Soldier or Brian Christopher. You know, I can share these 10 years from now and it
mm-hmm.
will still
right.
make sense.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yes,
and to me,
exactly.
the thing that I don't think artists or people really get, the art is new to somebody somewhere, no matter
mm-hmm.
when it was created. You know? So there's music that I play on my show by an indie artist that could have been created, you know, 10 years ago, but it's new to you
right.
today.
Exactly. Right.
You know?
Exactly.
And And I learned a trick, you know, from, I'm not going to say who the artist is or the manager, but I learned a trick from a manager friend of mine out on the East Coast. They never mention when the album was done.
Mm-hmm.
They never mention
mm-hmm.
it. And that, it, and I think the reason being is it keeps it relevant. Because once you put
mm-hmm.
a date on it, you're like, oh, that's old.
Yeah.
Oh, she
yeah.
did it in 2007?
Yeah.
Oh, that's old.
Right.
She hasn't
yeah,
done
right.
anything yet?
Mm-hmm.
She hasn't
right.
done anything mm-hmm. since then? You know?
Yeah.
But the piece may speak to you today, even though it was created in 2007.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but
mm-hmm.
you put that block up. It's like, oh, that's old stuff. She hasn't done anything new.
Yeah.
You know, and so...
A lot. That happens to me a lot. Where there are
mm-hmm.
relevant.
Yes.
I mean, listen. I can listen to Nina Simone all night and day.
Sure.
You know?
Yes, Lord.
Yeah. Yeah. How relevant is that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But we do treat people like that. I mean, I've had people approach me, managers approach me, and they'll listen to the project. And if I send it to them, they look at the back, and they may see the date of it or other work I've done. So when are you going to put something else out new?
Right.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
I, one person I turned down because I told them, I said, you know what? You had barely heard of me. So if
mm-hmm.
you had barely heard of me, how much of the country has not heard of me
exactly.
at all?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
This is new product. It's new product to the person you introduce it to. You know,
yeah.
I think it's crazy of them to ask us to do that. But then, like I said earlier, they don't understand what it takes to put together a project. We don't go in the houses and camp out all weekend. It only takes
right.
you 2 hours, you know, an hour to listen to a project. That project
mm-hmm.
could have taken us months, years,
like
days,
that.
Hours
mm-hmm.
and hours and hours to put together. I had one song on my first attempt. I had one song because we were having computer problems and everything else. That one song took 18 hours.
Right.
The one song. You know, so you never know what kind of labor goes into it. You know, so I mean, I appreciate it when I hear things and, you know, you can just appreciate it for the beauty that it is. I like that piece because it is timeless. You know, for a period of time, I got kind of, I kind of fell out of love with poetry. Because
mm-hmm.
everybody was either mad or horny. There was no in between.
I know.
You either wanted to have sex or beat up everybody, and I didn't understand.
I know.
You know.
Or both.
Or both. Yeah, yeah. You wanted to beat up the person after you made love to them, or you wanted to beat them up because you did. I didn't understand
uh-huh.
what was
uh-huh.
going on. And so, it, you know, I kind of fell out of love with it. And I'm like, what happened to poetry that made you think? You know, I mean, it will sound like a shameless plug, but it's not. On, you know, tomorrow night on my show, we're doing a tribute to Black History.
Mm-hmm.
And so Black History Month, what I did was I went back into the archives, and some of it I had to harvest from you know, LPs and things so that some of it would be a little bit grainy in sound, which is great to me. I love the differences. But I went
yeah.
back and pulled people like Troop. And Rita Dove, and Imari, and Gil Scott-Heron, the last poets, Nikki Giovanni,
mm-hmm.
Maya Angelou,
mm-hmm.
those are the people I'm playing. Their pieces are timeless.
They are.
They're as great today as they were then. When the last poets created Black Thighs, it was fabulous, and it's
mm-hmm.
still great now. And we've become so, because the mindset of our listeners is disposable, we've become disposable with our art.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So I like that
right.
you have given us something that has some substance to it. I can listen to this 6 months from now, 6 years from now, and still enjoy
mm-hmm.
it. I appreciate
mm-hmm.
that.
Thank
no,
you.
But,
yeah,
I'm sorry, Amina.
I was just
going to
say, I think that we all, and that's one of the reasons why our connection is so strong, because, you know, it's symbiotic. We all do that. We all offer that. And so we can absolutely respect and appreciate one another for that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I could go to a Neo Soldier show 3-4 times in a year where there's some shows that I can attend and say, okay. You know,
yeah.
maybe I'll hear
I
it,
did.
Maybe I won't. You know, maybe I'll listen
mm-hmm.
to it, maybe I won't. So the CD is
mm-hmm.
in the back of the drawer. And then there are some CDs that are staples. There's some songs and tracks that have to be right there at the forefront all the time.
Mm-hmm.
They mean
mm-hmm.
something. Mm-hmm.
Well, and I think that when you can connect with the experience of the art, it stays with you. You know, no matter when you got it, no matter what the first time was that you experienced it, it stays with you. And so if you're in a certain mood, you're like, this is what I really need to hear right now because this is where I'm at. And you know what to pull out. And I think that's the beautiful thing when it comes to the indie artists, is that I've had that experience time and time again where I feel connected. It's like a very intimate relationship with somebody you never see.
Mm-hmm.
But for some reason in that moment, we're together, even though we're not, if that makes sense. You know?
Yep.
So this is my time with Amina and Shambe, or this is my time with Neo Soldier, you know, or whatever. You know, this is my one-on-one because I'm experiencing you right now, you know.
Right.
And so I think that's why I love it so much. That's why I love doing what I do. Yeah, I get frustrated. Y'all know I get frustrated. Like, hello, I'm over here in the Northwest. And I want you to pay attention to my friend Richard Johnson, who is doing a show out there in New York at the Soul Factory at the Drome, you know.
Right. Amazing place.
Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But it's like, okay, I can still appreciate the fact that, you know, he's all the way over there and I'm all the way over here, and I want you to pay attention. I want you to pay attention to my radio show. Not because I want you to pay attention to me. I'm playing some amazing people. I have some amazing ladies who are on the show with me right now. You know, and speaking of that, I want to add another lady to the line. She's been so patient holding on. Okay, let's click on it. All right, baby girl, I am so sorry to keep you holding forever and ever down there in the Bay Area.
It's okay. It's all good. How are you?
I'm very good. This is my baby girl, Erica Reed, down there in the Bay, and she is a young woman whose hustle and bustle is pretty good. I've been having my eyes on her, Neo Soldier and Amina, for a minute, and she's a big supporter of independent artists also.
Beautiful.
Yeah,
hi, Erica.
Yeah. Hi, how are you, ladies? I just wanted to say, I'm listening to you guys. It makes me feel like I'm not crazy. So it actually puts in perspective that what I share and what my value system is, it's not singular out here. It's just not supported so much or mainstream in the Bay Area under, you know, amongst indie artists. And the difference between working with some closely and then working with some on the other end of the radio show where I'm not working with them so closely, but yet I get to experience them when they come on the show. I can definitely tell the difference, and I can also tell the difference in people who have a team and then people who don't have a team. So I think part of the support in what you guys were speaking earlier about, you know, they put a lot of time and effort into the project as an artist, but then no one goes out to support them. And I think that comes with that. That's a product of different results. I mean, different mindsets, because I know some artists where they feel like they are their only team. Like they claim to not have a team, but yet they do have a team, but they don't give back the same support like Lady Flavor. Like, If she plays the music and then that means she's supporting you. So to give back with that, you know, not only in paying for the membership, but you need to share the show, share the archive of the show, share that Flavor News movement, share the page, do something, tag her in something, you know, that's a positive product. It's the same thing. But then there's also people who do have a team and they are just loyal. They are just loyal. Like, at the end of the day, no matter what, like, they are always there. And I see a difference in the music, I guess you can say, kind of like a child. You know, a child that sometimes can be a little bit more well-rounded from a two-family homes and a single-family home, but there's always an exception to the rule. So it's kind of like that from what I experienced. The ones who actually have a team, I see them going farther in a much faster pace because everyone is like-minded. And but when you're singular, it comes. It's a little bit different, but that can also be their own handicap because their ego is in the way. So their ego won't allow them to let other people joint venture because it's going to take away from them saying, I did it by myself. I did this.
Hmm.
But no man is an island. Like, Donald Trump can't say he did it by himself. Oprah Winfrey can't say she did it by herself. Beyonce can't say she did it by herself. So it really doesn't matter. But they want to. They want the limelight and the fame, even though it's underground. They want the underground fame. You know, they want that oxymoron title to where they can just be, you know, infamous like the great legends. But you haven't reached the icon legend platform yet. So sometimes it takes 20 years to get to that point. So there's even, you know, there's artists that have never been, you know, mainstream or even looked at that were legendary underground artists, like Big L. He was gone before our time, but he was big on the East Coast, but he wasn't big, like, amongst everyone else out here. Because when I started listening to Big L, everybody was like, why are you listening to that? Like, he's a dope artist. Like, he's a great freestyle artist. But we lost him early, but he was phenomenal, you know?
Right.
And it's only a chosen few who know who he is. And it's kind of sad. But just as far as the support goes, I understand that. And then real quick to jump bases on the win-win situation, and Flavor, you know, this is like my number one thing. Because when I partner with people, I always say I don't work for people, I work with people. And that's because I'm an entrepreneur by spirit. So it just, even if I tried to play the Indian role, it would still end up, the chief would want to come out. So I just need to embrace who the chief is and just, I work with people. And so anytime I work with people, I map everything out. It is completely outlined on what it is they communicated with me on what they want, what I know I can provide, and what I think we can build together. If it's a win-win for everyone, if everyone leaves from the table happy, then we're good. If not, then we need to come back to the table, figure something out. Other than that, maybe we need to walk away. You know, I work as a massage therapist, and my boss told me a really good – he told me a joke that changed my life, and it kind of – it's an easy way to separate people on who is who. And I'm going to say the quick version, and I'm going to clean it up a little bit, but there's two types of people in the world. There's people who like boo-boo burgers, and there's people who like steak. So a person who likes a boo-boo burger, they'll order that. They won't question nothing about it. They'll eat that. They won't want anything more than what's in front of them. But a person who wants steak, potato, and a glass of wine, if they're not able to get all three, they will compromise, take one away, but they still got what they wanted. So it was still a win-win situation, you know? So you tell that joke to a person, and if they respond with a laugh, they get the joke. So you know that's a person who likes steak. If they don't get the joke, they like boo-boo burgers, and you might need to question why you rocking with them in the first place.
Wow.
And when I first meet people, I tell them that joke. Even I went on a job interview just like a couple of weeks ago and told them that joke just to see what they would do. Like it really determines like how they rock and where their mindset is at. And it's great to be able to have that type of spirit of discernment to pinpoint that. And it's hard what I'm learning in this industry, because I'm really getting my feet wet in this. I'm very new to all of this. I've been in music all my life, but not on this type of a level. So I'm experiencing the strengthening my spirit of discernment and keeping my grass cut really low. And I just most recently posted the other day to not tell good ideas to new people, and
that's the same point.
They will definitely run with it, or they'll switch it up a little bit and then make it seem like they came with it all their own. And then you see them excel to a level that you helped play a part in. And it's just like what Flavor said earlier, like, well, where's my credit? Like, I'm not asking you to scream from the mountaintop, you know, or anything like that, but it would be nice for you to reshare something. I'm involved in so much stuff. They don't reshare none of that. But yet you want me to come to your shows. You want me to be the transportation. You want me to get your music on the air. You want me to do all this. And I tell them all the time, you need to keep up with Flavor. You need to send her your stuff. You need to send her your ASCAP number. You need to do this. It shouldn't take that long. You're so busy doing everything else. You need to keep up with people who are already in your corner. Take care of your house first before you try to build something bigger. Finish that, then work on something else. So, okay, sorry, I went on a little tangent, but thank you.
It's good. I was about to pull out my checkbook and make an offering. You said it was good. Go ahead on.
But I just want to say I appreciate you, ladies, and I appreciate Flavor, and I'm going to always wave my pom-pom fire. And I learned so much from just listening to you. And I'm going to say this to you because I'm going to say the same thing to Jace when he gets here. But you guys, little by little, every time I see you guys post something, share something, listen to your show, talk to you guys, whether it's message or on the phone, you change my life a little bit, little by little, like honestly. And I carry you guys with me every day. And before I make decisions and before I think of stuff, I just like, what would Jesus do? I think about, like, okay, well, what would Flavor do? Like, what would they tell me and replay it in my mind? Like, what would my mom tell me right now? You know?
Because
I have to be that way because it's not, I'm trying to build an empire. I'm not just trying to have a job. You know, I'm trying to have something that will bring the community completely together. And it's in so many different elements. I'm trying to bring it in one, I call it Etopia. So it's one Etopia community. So I want to be able to do that. And in order to do that, I have to know how to think and I have to know how to make decisions and know who should I rock with and who should I not. Because to me, it's not about quantity, it's about quality. And everybody that I rock with right now is quality, and I appreciate that. So thank you.
She was so inspiring.
Let me just encourage you, little sister, to I want to share with you three things as you go along your business. To one, remember it's a business. Enjoy it. You know, definitely enjoy it, but remember it's a business because people will, out of friendship and camaraderie and everything else, do just what you said, try to steal your craft or, you know, stick their foot out and trip you along the way. Remember that it's a business aspect to it. The second thing I want to tell you is to stay that way. Stay exactly the way you are. Continue to seek wisdom. People who have imparted into your life things that you can carry with you, take that with you. That's going to be your foundation for the business part because once you get the business down, you need that wisdom to make sound decisions and everything else. And I tell you, the next thing I would tell you, girl, is that we are behind you 100%. If there is anything, Flavor knows me. If there is anything that I can do to help you, all you need to do is ask because it is so refreshing to hear out of the disposable age that you are somebody that is interested in investing in quality. I applaud you for that. I really, really do. And never hesitate to ask for anything that you need because there are people out here who will support you. They really will.
Thank you, because I go through these peaks and valleys where I feel like I'm on everyone's team. I was just telling the co-producer the other day, like I feel like I'm on everyone's team to help them build something. But I've put three projects that I want that I'm supposed to be working on for myself. And Flavor got on me about this not too long ago about branding myself, and I've put that on the back burner somewhat. Like, I do it a little bit, but, and I have it all outlined. I just haven't gone full force with it because I'm helping everyone else, and it's because I'm on their team, and in my mind, I feel like because I'm on their team, they're also on my team. So in my mind, it's automatic because that's just how I am. And then that gives you that kick in the butt reminder that not everybody thinks like you. So I reminded myself of that, and so I took the next step forward. Because the next step would be, okay, they don't know unless you tell them. So then I reached out, and I sent messages. I've had phone calls. I've had meetings. And I've requested, like, I need this from you. Very clear and very, I'm a very blunt person. Like, there's no sugarcoating because that time is money and I don't have that much time to spare. So, and I make it very, you know, to the point and direct, and I still don't get the results. So then I'm just like, well, you know what? Well, maybe I can show you better and I can tell you how serious I am. If you're not going to give me at least this equal amount of support of what I'm giving you, then I'm going to fall back. You're no longer a priority to me. Now you're a minority project. You're not a priority project. So now and I'm glad I was able to do that because it forced me to slow my schedule down because it had gotten to the point where I would be literally up 24 hours a day doing something, going from meeting to meeting, scouting this, going to this open mic and this event and doing this for this person. And in the long term, they're saying it's supposed to be good for me, but it's really not. Right. So I had to be able to.
We appreciate you all as artists for what you do. I mean, it is a labor of love to say that you want to support an independent artist. It really is. You know, I mean, mad love to all of the open mic hosts because I have watched them. There's a brother in Cleveland, LS Royal. He gets off work. He goes to get the equipment, go to the club, set it up, run the door, greet the guests, host the show, break it down, put it back in the car, faithfully, week after week after week. We appreciate that. But something you said is key. If they're not going to invest in you as much as you invest in them, then that's not a good business venture. That's what I mean about knowing the business. Business, the purpose for going into business is to make a profit. And if it doesn't profit you in some form or manner, then it is not a good business investment. And, you know, indie artists, not all of them, but indie artists, of course, we appreciate the love. I love when people ask me for my project because they want to play it on the air. Now, I'm not crazy. I'll send them two or three tracks. I'm not going to send you the whole project because you're not going to play the whole project. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I appreciate them wanting to have my material on their platform. In kind, I'm going to make sure that other people listen to them. You know, I've been blasting about Blues Jazz Radio so much because it's a good format. When I listen to Lady Flavor, it's a good format. Flavor Coffee House is a great format. You know, all the ones I've been on. But every artist is not going to think that way. They're just not. You know, so don't be afraid to say, you know what, I came to the picnic and I brought the barbecue and the potato salad and the macaroni and cheese and the baked beans and you brought a fork and some Tupperware to take home everything that I brought. You know?
Right.
You didn't bring anything, and you're going to take back all the residue of what I brought. You're going to take that home with you, you know? So just stay encouraged. Stay encouraged. Don't let the worms in the apple spoil you from enjoying the fruit. Don't ever allow that to happen. Love them. You know, the ones that are out here, you'll know. The further you go in this, the more you'll see which ones who have the agenda for you or not. I applaud you, girl. Mad love to you. That's great.
Thank you. It's just a natural thing. It's wanting to be around people, and I'm very observant, and I've always loved music. So it's like last night, okay, I just have to share this with y'all. I went to the Rakim concert last night. That was so epic. So, right here, I mean...
Nice.
I got a phone call from I call him the Brando of our group because like he's over us at the radio show, but you like never see him, so I call him the Don. So he called me a couple of days ago and he was like, did you guys give away another pair of tickets to the Rakim? And I was like, I don't know. I was like, you need to talk to Wes. He's the other producer. And then he was like, well, do you want to go? I was like, yeah. Like, what do you mean? I'm like, of course. So I got, look, I was so excited. I got there a whole hour early. I was like,
wow.
I got there a whole hour early, and I stayed in my, you know, hung out for a little bit and watched some stuff on my phone, and then I went inside and I linked up with some friends of mine that participated in the open mic that we host. And it was just, it was epic. It just, it was phenomenal. Like, to see Rakim and the way he handled the stage and the way he commanded the audience and the way he got down and was talking to everybody and, you know, brought every, and, like, he even did, like, you know, set calling. Now, to do set calling in San Francisco and you got different set neighborhoods and you having them call themselves out, you know, that can be dangerous. That's like playing with fire sometimes in San Francisco and in Oakland. But when he did it, it didn't change no momentum. It just didn't. You know what I mean? Everybody was just all love. And then you had people dancing in a ring like they did back in the day and was breaking and tutting and, you know, isolations. And it was just, it was great. I just don't know how to express it more than that. But, yeah. But, and but I mean, to for me, if you're gonna be an underground artist, oh, this was the other thing. He was very humbled on stage, very humbled. I mean, when you think about the notoriety that he has and the title that he has in this hip hop game and how he's an iconic legend, and to not come on stage, because you can tell when you meet a person that they cocky or they're arrogant or you know they're just so egotistical that they don't see nothing beyond the end of their nose, you know. But with him, he just, he stood there, and, you know, there were points where he was just embracing all the love, and not on no, like, yeah, it's me, but more like, I'm grateful, like, I'm just blessed and grateful to be here, and to experience my craft with all of y'all, and to me, that's an artist, period. And even though I'm not an artist per se, but I, and I'm in business, to me, I think of it as an artist. To me, it is an artistry to be able to talk to people and to come up with ventures and business plans and do a little politicking and things like that and showing support to get support. To me, that's artistry too, because it creates a beautiful thing that everybody can experience and enjoy. And to not say it's, you know, on the same level of, as what he's doing, but I want to reach that type of just gratefulness. You know, I'm grateful already, but to be able to build something that what he's built over a period of time and still be grateful and not have it have changed him, that's what I want to be. Like, that's what I think every artist should strive to be. And then there's some artists that kind of shoot themselves in the foot because in their mind they already feel like they're there. So if they already feel like they're there and they're not, then who are you, what are you doing? Like, I can't help but question. Like,
well, I think that ladies, I know you can feel Miss Erica's energy. She makes me tired sometimes when I sit there and I realize all the things she's got her hands in. I'm like, okay, this is the reason you're your age, and this is the reason I'm my age. You know, but the one thing that, Erica, that I will say to you that I've learned over the years, different artists do it for different reasons. And there are certain artists that will go the distance and other artists that won't, even though they may have the talents and maybe they think they have the mindset. And so there's just kind of like different categories. And as, you know, time goes by, you will learn to really kind of recognize where somebody's at. Some people you can't force to do and be a certain way, you know. And I think, you know, again, as time goes by and you're in this industry, you'll learn when to kick rocks and keep it moving. Because you don't need to be around people that drain you. You know, you just don't. You know, you put your energy into what feels good, where it feels like it's the win-win for you. And all of that. But not all artists, no matter what they may say, their actions will show you more. you know, how far they're going to go. You know, I mean, it's like Alan Stone up here out of the Pacific Northwest. When he went to Jacksonville, Florida, and Monica Monet got to meet him in person, she was so excited. But he told her, he said, you know, I've slept in cars. I've slept on people's couches. I have played every, you know, cafe and you know, hole-in-the-wall tavern, you know, and now he's on Conan and David Letterman, you know, and stuff. And so it's, you know, because of where his push, his drive, his passion, he may go the distance. You know,
right.
over somebody mm-hmm. else who just says, well, you know, I'm dope. You know, people tell them they're dope or whatever. And so, you know, you have to definitely pick and choose who you're going to put your energy into, because some people are just, baby girl, it's just not worth it. It's really not worth it.
Yeah, it's like a bad relationship. it's like picking the bad relationship, you know. But at the same time, like the song India Ari, you know, I don't regret it. I learned a lesson from it. I know what to look for now. And at the end of the day, everything for a reason. Nothing is by happenstance. So that was their purpose in my life, to know what not to do next time. You know.
Mm-hmm.
Grateful.
Yay!
Yay!
Wow. Well, you know, I thank you, ladies, for hanging out with me at the coffee shop today. This has been an absolutely amazing conversation.
Yeah.
You know, the dialogue.
Thank
to
you
me,
so
the dialogue, I think, is important.
Mm-hmm,
and that's
mm-hmm.
what I love about the coffee shop. I never know what direction it's going to go, and I like that. Sometimes I just play mostly music. Other times somebody will call in and promote, you know, who they are, what they do, or we open up a dialogue like what we did today. So I appreciate you ladies, you know, allowing that to take place, because I think it's needed. You know, I think it's a conversation that when people come back and listen to, they maybe will really get something out of it, even if they're not even an artist. You know, I want to impress upon the people that are fans and say that they believe in the underground independent unknown artists, you know, that there's a way of really, really showing support. There is a way of building win-wins where everybody feels good, you know, about doing what they do. I am a natural caretaker. God put me on this earth to always look out for other people. I recognized that a long time ago. You know, I can't help it because of, you know, who my daddy is and, you know, my mom and my godmom, you know, and all of that. You know, I was just raised by, you know, people who looked out for other people. It's not always easy. It can be draining, you know, at times. You know, but will I stop doing it? Of course, I'll never stop doing it, you know. And as my daddy told me, he's like, Susan, your ministry is with artists, you know. And and I appreciate, you know, looking at it at that in that direction, you know, because I know that, you know, when you talk about being a Christian or being spiritual or, you know, having a higher power and all of that, you know, you don't necessarily, you know, put that in the category of the arts, right?
Right.
You know, but you guys are amazing people, you know, whether you're somebody like Erica in the Bay Area supporting those underground artists and being involved in all these projects, you know, to Nia Soldier, to Amina, you know, out there on the East Coast, you know, you guys are messengers. You know, you touch people's lives, whether it's just with your presence or whether it's what you create. And I think that's the beautiful thing. We have an amazing power that we've been given, and it's up to us in how we use it. And the three ladies right now, you guys are amazing, and you are touching lives. So I want to close out the show, but Neil Soldier, please tell people where they can find your CD again.
You can find my CD at neosoldier.bandcamp.com, and Neil Soldier is spelled neosouljah.bandcamp.com. Also, my show on Sunday nights is on bluesjazzradio.com. Sunday nights at 10 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, 9 Central, 7 Pacific. It's 2 hours of spoken word and poetry, and doing the same thing Flava's doing, just trying to bring more artists to the forefront. But the project is at neosoldier.bandcamp.com.
And do you have any other projects that you're working on besides the radio show and your CD?
Actually, right now I do. Some of them I can't say yet.
Okay.
It's up and coming. But right now, you know, actually what I'm looking for right now is I want to do some collaborations, and I'll put that out there. And, you know, that's rare. It's not because I don't like doing them, but because, you know, it's a great undertaking to say you want to work with somebody else. But I would love to do a nice series of collaborations with some people who have really gone the extra mile in the game. You know, I had a chance to talk with Abyss and then the Upright Lions not too long ago. And, you know, different people like that. So that's the thing I think I'm going to venture off into next while working on Chapter 2, because I am working on NSV Chapter 2, yeah.
Okay. All right, Miss Amina. So tell people about the show tonight out there in New York.
Okay, so tonight at Ashford and Simpson's Sugar Bar restaurant on West 72nd Street, Midtown Manhattan, the TE Music Management is presenting Soul of the City. It's every last Saturday of the month, and there's going to be a series of indie artists doing some of everything, gospel, hip-hop, poetry, jazz, just anything that you can think of to entertain your palate, so to speak. We're doing it, and it's an amazing group of people that come out. Wisdom Supreme, my good dear friend and brother, and I are both performing, as well as our third part, poetic cohort, Cream. He is the host, who is there every month. And $10 cover charge, and they have amazing menu of great foods, and the atmosphere is a family atmosphere. Yes, you can bring your children, and that's something that people always are concerned about.
Oh,
yeah,
my.
Yeah, because it is a restaurant. It is a restaurant, so yes, you can bring your children. It's a family atmosphere, and it's great, and we'll be doing that tonight. Doors open at 7. Showtime starts about 8 o'clock, and I actually, in about 15 more minutes, we'll be sending in my list of people to reserve tables. So if you know me and you got my cell number, or hit me up on Facebook, and I will definitely call in and reserve a spot for you. So you can have
Bring your money.
Yes, I do sell CDs there. Many of the artists sell CDs there and sell their books and what have you. And that's important to support indie artists, as Neil Soldier has eloquently stated. And even the sister from the Bay Area, I'm sorry, just forgot your name, just had a senior moment.
Erica.
Thank you, Erica. we're doing this to eat too. You know, I mean,
right.
We have to eat too,
right,
at the end of the day.
Right.
And outside of that, I'm writing and I'm going back to recording. And I will say that I will be back in radio, but I cannot say how, in some very diverse ways. And I'm excited about that, because I realize how much I've missed it. Internet radio as well as terrestrial radio, as well as you turn it on a dial and hear my voice. So I'm really excited and looking forward to that. Outside of that, I'm continuing to do my advocacy through various disability organizations, anything pertaining to special education or public education. I'm a part of it. I have to be. We have to invest in our future, and our children are our future. So
definitely.
Anywhere you want to find me, just Google AMINA1389, Amina 1389, and you'll find me there on Instagram or SoundCloud or Facebook or Twitter. And wherever else you see that name, it's more than likely me. If it's not, let me know so I can have a talk with her.
All right, Miss Erica, and tell people about your radio shows and any other projects you've got going on down in the Bay Area.
Okay, so tonight at 1 a.m., well, I guess that would really be like Sunday morning. So Sunday mornings from 1 a.m. to 5 a.m. Pacific Standard Time is the After Hours radio show, where we are dedicated to underground, R&B, poetry, jazz, blues, neo-soul. We play that the entire night. along with the Dr. Chill segment where people call in or they send in questions to Dr. Chill, and we, as a panel, we answer the questions and have a good little time between 2 and 3. And it's a really great show. We're on every second and fourth Sunday mornings from 1 a.m. to 5 a.m. And then there's Sideshow Radio, which is dedicated to underground hip-hop. And that is on every first and third Friday, Saturday mornings from midnight to 2 a.m. So we'll be on next week on Sideshow Radio and then tonight on After Hours. And then open mic every first Wednesday, Revolver open mic at Showdown in San Francisco between Mission and Market on 6th Street. It's with a live hip-hop band called Rebel Alliance, and then we also have a DJ that we rotate every month. We're going to change up the format a little bit and start having featured artists come on. So, you know, if any artists want to come down there and want to get a chance to have a 15, 20-minute set, just them, they, you know, come down, show their talent. We video record it. We put it on our Sideshow Radio website. The artists will also be able to come down to the radio show and do an interview. We can do a call-in, pre-record, whatever they want to do. Those are the two major projects that I'm working on as of now. And I'm currently I'm working on a major project for Labor Day weekend. I'm praying that this actually really just comes into reality, because it's family oriented, putting it together and who I've asked to partner to do it. And then we're actually, every day that there is an event going on, there's a community benefactor. So the first day is the American Heart Association. We give to them. The next day is the American Diabetes Association. The third one is the KPSA, because we're community-based. We're not Clear Channel or anything, so we're independent. And then also a DJ school. There's a DJ crew called AZC, and they have a school studio that they're putting together, and they're taking in students who want to learn how to DJ or who have ever thought about it or want to brush up their skills. They're teaching the young people on how to do it the right way. So that's on the third day, and then on the fourth day, it's for foster kids. So every day that people participate in, the day that I have lined up, where it's not just being greedy and trying to get money, you're actually giving back to the community and to an organization that's trying to better somebody else. And that goes back to what this overall conversation was about, a win-win. There's nothing I do that does not include a win-win for everyone involved, because I can't take it with me, so might as well give it to somebody, you know? And that's what I got going on. So that's it.
All right. So you made me tired already listening to it.
I know. I'm sorry.
I think I just got a few more.
I need a nap.
But
I was tired when she said 1 to 5 in the morning. I'm like, huh? Oh, no.
Yeah, exactly. I know.
That's the only show that throws off my sleep, because I have to go to work Monday morning, and I work as a massage therapist, so I get 8 clients a day. So it throws off my sleep on Sunday. So when I get home, I don't get home till like 6 in the morning, and then I sleep throughout most of the day, and then I have to prepare my body for Monday morning.
Oh, bless your heart.
Yeah. So I'm always
I was laying in bed one morning at 1 or whatever it was, trying to figure out on my phone, because I try not to take a laptop in my bedroom. I try to keep that my space, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But, of course, you know, I have the cell phone, right, that you can get online with. I'm sitting there, like, trying to figure out, okay, how do I listen? How do I download this app that I went to sleep? I was like, Erica, I love you, baby girl, but I just went to sleep. I couldn't figure none of it out. It was, like, too hard for Mama at that time of the morning, and I was like, oh, I was out. But, again, ladies, I want to thank you so much for tuning in. I think you're amazing. Keep doing what you're doing. Flavor News is here to wave, you know, my leopard pom-poms for you, and You know, I love the support that you give to me also. You know, it feels like a win-win, and, you know, we keep doing this, we keep building on it. You know what? And I trust and believe that people that are meant to pay attention to us will pay attention.
Of course.
Yes,
right. Thank you.
I agree.
Thank you.
And I have
all
to
right.
get going. I have to get ready for tonight. So thank
all right,
you
have
so
a great
much,
show.
Lady.
Give a hug to
thank
my
you.
New
great
friend,
show,
Wisdom.
Girl. I will.
You know, and I want to thank everybody who tuned into the Coffee House. This is where we meet every Saturday, 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You know, come hang out with us. Good music, good conversation, like what we experienced today. You just never knew who's going to stop by and, you know, what you're going to experience at the coffee shop. I'm going to close out today's show with a piece by my dear, dear friends. This is Halon Keith and Monica Monet. It's called Love. God bless. Take care, everyone.
You're listening to Jupiter, top R&B and hip hop, and we got a new one from Earth. Y'all know him, y'all. Halon Keith, featuring the Monica Monet. Check it out.
Just you and me under this tree. I'm reading your mind. I can clearly see the love you had for me brought me to my destiny. Need nothing more. Such tranquility.
Love, love.
It's in the air.
Love, love.
It's everywhere.
Love, love.
Oh, my mind.
Nothing but love.
Across the world and I still can't find your love.
It's like honey dripping from a beehive. Your love is so sweet to me.
If I'm dreaming, don't wake me, 'cause I'm really enjoying this love.
It's like Sunday dinner. I'm still on the spiritual.
Right here on Jupiter, number one R&B and hip hop soul.